out of here.
So.
We've been looking at the book of Hebrews, and we're actually in Hebrews chapter 5 today at the close of the chapter, verses 11 through 14, and also we're going to go on into chapter 6 too. They're kind of connected there. And so we're going to be looking at those passages of Scripture when we get there. Last week we talked about Jesus being our high priest. And also as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then so there's a continuation of the writer's dialogue regarding this section. But the passage we're about to read is a warning concerning the church that he is writing to, concerning the Jews that is going to be reading this letter. And so let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. And it's not on the screen. You're going to look in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And I will be reading out of the New King James Bible. What do you have? The Amplified. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11 through 6, 3. Of whom we have much to say regarding Melchizedek and Jesus as high priest, and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as we do, I'm going to ask that you just join hands across the aisles. Pray for one another. But also I want you to pray for the pastor at the Stuckey Valley, Presbyterian Church, and Dale, what's that? Just a second. Ben Dake. So pray for Ben Dake. As we go to the Lord in prayer, pray for the ones you're holding hands with. And if you have a special need, you might want to just whisper that to the person next to you so that they can lift you up specifically to the Lord in prayer. Lord, there are some things you want to do in our hearts today. But God, we need to be open to you. Lord, I thank you. It's been such a sweet spirit here this morning. Lord, I thank you for bringing your spirit here. Thank you for filling this place with your presence. Thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts today. And Lord, I ask that you would just help us. Any reservations we have about what you want to share with us today, I pray that we would be open to you. God, that there would not be any reservations. Lord, that we would hear from you clearly. Lord, that I would be able to speak clearly. I pray, Father, that you would be with the pastor Ben Day at the Presbyterian Church. Lord, just ask for your hand to be upon him. I pray that your truth and your grace would go forth. Lord, that people's hearts would be drawn even closer to you in his sanctuary and his congregation as well as here. And so, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I hope you've been enjoying our study in Hebrews. I've been enjoying it. Oftentimes when we are studying through a book, I have to really... Somebody said last week, I'm glad you're preaching on Hebrews because that's a very difficult book to understand. And so I do appreciate your prayers for me as I prepare to present these messages. And hopefully it's going to impact your life. This passage of Scripture we read in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11, it says, so what he wants to do, he said, you ought to be, and he's talking to the people in this particular church, he says, you ought to be teachers by now, but rather than being teachers, you still have to get, there's still some elementary things that you have to keep going over and over and over and over and over because you haven't got it yet. He said, the reason you haven't gotten it, verse 11 says, is because you are dull of hearing. What do you think that means? Hard-headed? Another translation, the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, we have a great deal to say about this. It's difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Yeah. Too lazy to understand. I have a friend that I visit with on occasion. He is a calculus teacher. He's taught at the college. He's also taught at the high school. Teaches at the high school. And I visit with him on occasion, and he talks about these calculus things and, you know, these problems and formulas and things. And I just say, I pretend like I understand what he's talking about. Uh-huh. But truly, I don't have any clue what he just said. And the reason is, now, I believe with all my heart that if I wanted to apply myself to calculus and learn how to calculate times and distances and all of that thing, I really believe I could do it. The problem is, I'm just too lazy to apply myself to those things. I think it's interesting. I think it would be wonderful to learn all of those formulas and learn how to decipher those calculations of time and space and all of that. I think it would be wonderful. But I just don't exert time into it. So in that, we have oftentimes Hebrews, the author said there are many Christians who are lazy to understand scriptural truths. They're lazy to understand scriptural truths. I want to tell you, one of the responsibilities of a pastor, of spiritual leaders, is to help you grow in your Christ-likeness. There's a passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, and it talks about the responsibilities of a spiritual leader. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Have you found that yet, Josiah? Thank you. Sometimes he gets engrossed in the message and forgets to. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and all of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. So one of my responsibilities as a pastor, it mentions two here. One is to equip you for ministry. Okay? My responsibility is not to do all the work. My responsibility is to equip you to do the work. Okay? It's one of my responsibilities. The second responsibility is that I have an active role in your maturity. And until you become like Christ, I've got a job to do. My responsibility is to mature you to the maturity that Jesus Christ was. That's a pretty heavy responsibility. But it's us working together. I'm equipping you to do the ministry so that all of us can work together with each other, so that all of us can reach the full maturity of Jesus Christ. I can't do it without you. You can't do it without me. It's all working together for that to be completed in you. Another passage of Scripture in Hebrews 13, 17. It says, obey those, and we'll speak about this a little more in detail when we get to Hebrews 13. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So, did you know that when I stand before the Lord as your pastor, I'm going to have to give an account of how well I watched over your souls? Yeah. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? I'm going to have to give an account of how I watched over your souls. Now, my responsibility is to speak truth with grace, and your responsibility is to receive it and apply it. Okay? Now, the author of Hebrews was preaching to, or speaking to, or having a leadership in the lives of many people. And he wrote this passage of Scripture because he's warning them that there are some things that they need to begin to look at in their own lives. And one of the things that he asks them to look at is whether they are listening well. Are you listening well? The question then becomes, are you teachable? How teachable are you? What do you think it means to be teachable? Okay, being able to take instruction and follow through with it. Not just hearing, but doing it. These people were lazy to understand. We need to be like a sponge. When the Word of God is spoken, we need to take it in, we need to absorb it, and we need to allow it to affect our lives. We need it to transform us. If we just come to church, hear the Word of God, and we leave, and nothing takes place, and there's no transformation in our heart, then we're dull of hearing. Okay? And so that's what the writer of Hebrews was talking about. He was telling the people, if you were not dull of hearing, you would already be teachers. But you're dull of hearing. A second thing he mentions is that they have to have a determination to grow. They have to have a determination to grow. Did you know that you don't grow in Christ-likeness unless you determine that that's what you're going to do? You have to kind of make up your mind that's what you're going to do, that I want to be more Christ-like, and so I've determined in myself that there are certain things that I'm going to do in order to get there. You have to have a determination. If you want to succeed in anything in your life, you have to have a determination to do it. If you want to succeed as a stonemason, you have to do it. If you have to, determine that's what you're going to do. A chicken farmer, you're going to have to determine that's what you're going to do. A truck driver, that's what you have to determine that you're going to do it, and you're going to do it the best that you possibly can. I met a fellow yesterday who was, his name was Joe, and Joe said he started a business many, many years ago. But throughout the years, he failed many, many, many times. Now, the business has grown, and his family has taken over the business. He was actually a stone cutter, and his now the business is Conrad Stone Cutter. Have you heard of him? Pretty big place out in Portland. And so he was kind of telling me his story. And the only reason he got where he was getting was where he got to was because he determined that that was what he was going to do. Okay? Now let me just say this. In your Christian life, once you determine that's where you're headed, doesn't mean that you're not going to stumble sometimes. Okay? It doesn't mean you're not going to fall sometimes. It doesn't mean that you're not going to do a wipeout sometimes. But what it means is, no matter what happens, I'm going to pick myself up, and my determination is that I'm going to keep going after God, keep going after God, keep going after God, keep going after God. No matter what happens, I'm going to pick myself up, and with God, I'm going to go towards Christ's likeness. We have to be determined that we're going to get there. So, in regards to that, as God asked you to do something, maybe something you've read in His Word, maybe something that you've heard from minister, what has God asked you to do something that you are not doing right now? If it is, if there is, then you're not growing in Christ-likeness because you have to apply what He has instructed you to do. The third thing that we need to do is when we need to become skilled in the Word of God. We find this in verse 13. Become skilled in the Word of God. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. So how familiar are you with the Word of God? How skilled are you? When we choose, let's just say you're choosing an occupation and you want to become a skilled carpenter. What does it take to become a skilled carpenter? Practice. Tools. A good teacher helps. YouTube. Maybe not. If you want to become a good seamstress, what do you need? Sewing machine, teaching, instruction, determination. So if you want to be accomplished in anything, you're going to have to practice until you get better at it. I do some wood turning. I'm not a really accomplished wood turner. I go to a wood turner's meeting once a month and enjoy hobnobbing with those guys and letting them show me their stuff. I mean, they make some wonderful, wonderful things, and I'm ashamed to bring mine because it doesn't come close of what those guys are doing. But I guarantee you this, the more I practice, the The more I go to those meetings, the more I learn from them, the better I'm going to get. And one day, I'm going to say, "Ooh, look what I did." And we need to become skilled with the Word of God. So, he mentions two things here. One, he mentions your diet and your walk. He says that some of you are feeding on milk, and because you're only feeding on milk, you're very unhealthy. He said, let's talk about some meatier things, some things that are going to give you greater sustenance, some things that's going to cause your greater health, and let's change your diet a little bit so that you can walk in righteousness. When I was in high school and playing football, we had a playbook. So we would go home and we would study those plays. Then at practice, we would practice the plays that we studied. Okay? And so coach would tell us to run a certain play, and we needed to know what play that was so that we could run that play in the hole that we were designed to run it in. And we needed to know, every person needed to know exactly what they did, whether they were blocking down or blocking out or what they were doing. And running the ball needed to know where he was going. If he messed up the play, guess what? You didn't make any yardage. Didn't make any yardage. This Word of God is our playbook. Okay? Now, if we study the playbook, but we don't run the plays, what good is it? You're going to lose yardage. It's not just about reading God's Word. It's not just about understanding what He's saying. Once you read it and understand it, you've got to apply it to your life, and you've got to walk it out. Okay? So that's what the writer of Hebrews was trying to tell these individuals, that you need guys, ladies, you need a better diet because your walk isn't straight. And so, he's encouraging them to get a handle on God's Word. They need to be studious and become skilled in the Word of God so that they can wield the Word of God with grace and truth. Did you know that people can hear the truth a lot better if you speak it with grace? Rather than if you are trying to hammer the truth. How many of you have had teenagers before? How many of you tried to hammer the truth into them? How did that work out? Usually it just goes in one ear, out the other. Or maybe it don't even go in one ear. It kind of bounces off. But when we can wield the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, with grace and truth, people are more apt to hear than they would be otherwise. So I want to encourage you to become studious, a student of the Word of God. And the last thing is that we need to be discerning. We need to exercise our mental and spiritual senses. Exercise our mental and spiritual senses. So, opinions are like elbows. Everybody has one. Okay? How do you know if someone's opinion is the right opinion or not? If it agrees with your own. We're living in a world where there's so much chaos and so much confusion and so much misunderstanding about what's going to cause a wonderful society. You can go into meetings. You can go in meetings at the school. You can go in meetings in different venues throughout the county or in the country, and you're going to hear many different opinions. How do you know which one's right? Well, does it line up with the Word of God? Does it line up with what the Holy Spirit is saying? In verse 14 of chapter 5, it says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." As a young Christian, sometimes it's hard to understand what is good and what is best. Sometimes it's even hard to understand what is right and what is wrong because you have all of this input from so many different people. And the only way that you can determine what is right and what is wrong is by exercising your spiritual and your mental senses to determine that. Okay? So there's some exercising that needs to take place in order for you to be able to discern what's right and what's wrong. Part of the exercising is there are some things that you just know that you know that you know that you know because God's Word says it. Somebody once said, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Well, I would say God said it and that settles it whether you believe it or not. Okay? But you need to know what God's Word says so that you can exercise in your own spirit what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is not. What is best and what is not. You need to exercise those things in your heart. You need to build your spiritual muscles so that you can know that you know that you know that you know that this is where God stands. And because this is where God stands, this is where I'm going to stand. Don't have to understand it. Don't have to explain it. All I need to do is stand. So I want to ask you a question. Actually, I guess I'll ask you a few questions. Find the right page. So, are you teachable? Are you teachable? I want to encourage you to take advantage of our life groups. Take advantage of God's own material. Take advantage of things offered so that you can not just be a hearer of the Word, but a doer as well. Be teachable. Are you responsible with what God has already given you? Are you responsible with the gifts, talents, the insight that He's already given you? Here's the thing. God, Jesus, when He was here on earth, He was concerned about teachers. He said, "Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into His harvest so that the harvest could be received." Also, we find here in the book of Hebrews that this writer was concerned with teachers. He said, "You ought to be teachers now, but you're still needing to be taught because you're still kind of a baby Christian." And I find in this congregation that there are always needs for teachers. Did you? I guess in every church, there's always a need for more teachers. And a lot of times, the teachers, the people who are teaching, are doing about 14 other jobs too. And so, perhaps God has brought you to a place where you say, "You know what? I am a listener. I'm applying. I'm reading God's Word. I'm sensitive to the Spirit. You know, I believe God is leading me to a position as a teacher. And possibly that's the case. But I guarantee you this, you will never grow beyond a certain point until you start helping somebody else in their growth. You'll never do it. You'll come to a place in your life where you are just kind of stagnant. I want to say one more thing. If you are not growing, you're backsliding. If you're not growing, you're backsliding. You cannot come to a plateau in your Christian life and say, well, I'm good to go. I'm going to just stay here. If you're not growing, if you're not reading God's Word, if you're not praying, if you're not applying these things in your life, you're going to be backsliding. I want to ask you a question. Where are you in your growth pattern? Are you backsliding or are you growing? Because you can't just stay at one place. This was a pretty heavy message from Hebrews to these people. But as we read on, the reason he was sharing all of this is because there's a warning he shares in the next several verses that we're going to get to next week about not giving yourself to the Lord and keeping up on that. Okay, we'll be talking about that next week. So how many of you have a determination to grow in the Lord? Good. Praise the Lord. So if you have that determination, then you need to make a plan. Hopefully I've laid out some things today that's going to help you in that plan. We have one of the things that's taking place in our life group is that we're teaching through the Bible, 7 years teaching through the Bible. And so if you want to come and be a part of that, it's at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. And Brother Paul, it is good stuff. Brother Paul is the leader right now, and so he's gifted as a teacher. And I want to say this. Let's just say that you think, well, maybe God would want me to be a teacher. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Don't compare yourself to Brother Paul or myself. God has built you in such a way that you're going to be able to reach some people that he can't reach or I can't reach. He has gifted you in some ways, so don't feel like you have to be a Billy Graham or a Paul Mosser or anyone else before you can teach, okay? There's such a need, and God has gifted some of you with that ability. Lord, I come before you today. Lord, some of these things are not easy to hear. Because we fail in so many ways. And Lord, practically everyone in here said they wanted to grow. They determined themselves. They have determined to grow in their relationship with Christ. Lord, that thrills me as a pastor. So it's my responsibility, Lord, I want to help them. Lord, there may be some here this morning who feel like you've been tugging on their heart to get into a teaching or at least a mentoring position. And so, Lord, I pray that today you would have your will and your way in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you, praise you, and honor you. Lord, if there's anyone here today who's never received Christ as their Savior, maybe, I know for me, it wasn't that I was lazy to understand your word before I became a Christian. I just couldn't understand it. It was only after I received Christ that that your word began to open up to me. I began to understand the truths of your word. Lord, I'm still learning. Lord, today there may be some here who just don't understand your word, and it may be because they don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. So, Lord, I pray that today that we take the steps necessary to receive you by asking forgiveness of sin, trusting you. Thank you. Praise you. In Jesus' holy name.